combines green diesel, lead grubbers, which describes bankers suck the life out of us, turn around us for bailouts, and money x, which goes to psychopaths of these sorry souls. Some words to apply to the bankers, such as treasonous and you're fired. Others needed thieves to cap their full fury. These unbridled bastards of mass deception and moral rapacious financials. One needed another language, Spanish, to the bankers. Choose lacras, a dulter meaning that the Wall Street are life's gone. Unrepentant moochers take everything for themselves. This is Jim Hightower saying, then thought words were quite adequate. Quote, I suggest reasons. Jim Hight's post take at Wall Street, Washington, or two. www.hightowerloadout.org.
Radio is made possible contribution to KZFR supporters by Dahlmeyer Insurance, a full independent insurer since 1948. Dahlmeyer Insurance provides a wide range of coverage options for individual needs, from homeowners and auto insurance to farm and ranch coverage. Dahlmeyer offers assistance by call 342-621-CHICO and 3334 in Oral, and all at GoInsurance.com. And by Peter Care, because trees need care. Sir Don Peterson continues his family tradition of caring about Chico's amazing natural resources. Licensed, bonded, and insured with fencing available, Peter handles rental and commercial properties and can reach by calling 508-0924. This is KR91 FM, the Super Commedio for the Tove Foothills Beyond. Next, non-union radio. Non-Human Radio, where we talk animal rights against Wednesday, 36 p.m. here on KZR 90.fm or online at kzfr.org. Also find us on Facebook at Non-Human Radio. I'm Gina Zeno. Non-Human Radio co-host Robert Jones, literally it in today's show. He's on Los Angeles where he's thinking and work as always, but hopefully he's relaxed and enjoying something vegan day is known for. Well, Robert?
It's great to be back on the air here. Yes, I'm here in Los Angeles. Soaking up sun, but also seeing and doing work here. And as you mentioned, some of the vegan food it has to offer, I can tell you that not a lot. But so good to hear. Good to be on the air.
Great, glad to have you back. So, Robert, what tell listeners we'll be talking about?
Well, tonight on Non-Human Radio, we're going to focus on the chick news about the captive gorilla at the zoo. I'm talking about it. And, Giants, we'll talk about the many angles of this news story. So, what's it going to do? Jeannie, you, it's vegan.
Robert said, we're going to spend a whole show discussing the life and death of Harambe, the gorilla whose death made headlines over the Memorial weekend. Last Saturday, the Cincinnati Zoo special response team shot and killed Harambe, a 10-year-old silver gorilla who had grabbed and dragged a 4-year-old who had climbed into the gorilla exhibit and fallen into the exhibit's moat. Authorities say that the zoo recovered without incident after he was picked by Harambe closure about 10 minutes. Cincinnati Zoo Director Thane Maynard said dangerous animal that practices for such incidents decided that the was in a life-threatening situation and that they needed to kill a 400-pound gorilla who was one of 11 captive gorillas at the zoo's Gorilla World exhibit. Let's say, team made a tough choice, and they made the right choice because they saved his life. Could have been very bad, quote. Officials investing, but Maynard said that they had built up and over some barriers before falling into 14 feet to the boat. According to Maynard, the gorilla didn't appear to be attacking the child. He said he was extremely in an agitated. He said tranquilized wouldn't knock him out immediately and left the boy in danger. Maynard said it was the time that the team had killed a zoo animal in such an emergency situation, and he got a very bad day at the zoo. A western lowland gorilla, of which Harambe was one, that is an species. Harambe came to Cincinnati in 2014 after he was born in captivity at Gladys Porter Zoo in Evansville, Texas. And so, yeah.
Gene, this is a tragedy. I clarify, we have this 400-pound gorilla. Just to clarify, he was born in captivity, I think, in Texas. And then he never was wild, he was never in the wild. So his life was captivity.
That's correct. And that in he was the enclosure that he was in. It was him, two females. The keepers, when they realized it happened, they called males in to their cages on the side of the exhibit on public view. The females came, but Harambe did not, and he stayed near the boy. And at some point, they dragged the water. Saying that that the females they responded to their keepers' call. The killer at Harambe was just bewildered as the spectators were, as and the keepers were. He was as bewildered at this disruptive, normal, captive lifestyle as any. It's not very often that a human being falls into their exhibits.
I mean, this happened, I don't think it's happened in Cincinnati, but it's like this has happened you know, there's not that often. There's been at least half a dozen that happened in the past few years. I don't remember a case where they actually had to shoot and kill a gorilla. I don't know if this has ever happened before. I come on the internet.
No. 15 years ago, a child fell into another gorilla exhibit, and I do know, a female gorilla, Durham, we go. Took care of him and to the keepers, first keeper. So is it, but that was a female gorilla. I guess the concern was how Harambe would react. That, not that he had already demonstrated violence to boy, dragging a whisper. And,
well, I mean, there's so much, you know, you and I have both been a lot about that. Everyone's reading about it. So some of the things interesting is, before we even an issue of Kathy, and I am not a world expert by any means, but from what I've been reading, Haram behaved, from what from a planet who have written and Beckoff has written, Haram behaving in a way consistent with gorilla is impeccable or protectiveness. So even was pretty harsh to see the kid dragged that way. Standing, again, I'm not sure. My understanding is it's the way that a male gorilla would, would handle a baby gorilla in a situation where they were trying to protect child.
Yes.
This is, of course, the kid, I think his name was Ayagari, 3-year-old kid. I mean, he was in danger of being injured, but the way that the zoo officials presented it was that it looked like they presented it as if a gorilla was a kind of aggressive behavior, aggressive posture, and it's not clear even what we hear about that.
So I read an article written by Ian Raymond, who is a biologist studying gorillas' feet for about 30 years, and everything he observed, even the was consistent with a non-aggressive gorilla. He said the only time a male gorilla gets mad is when he is threatened by another male gorilla, and that, that basically not, he's not going to get aggressive to a child.
So I think one of the issues, now I'm on the internet, there's just the right way this is in the social
internet, with the story. People
and,
care so much.
Like it's kind of tips, like the, there's a lot of kids now and his listening, and, you know, that was basically the gorilla versus a human brainer. Kids injured, you know. Then there's the kind of the rights people who seem to be that parents of child, at least the mother child, needs to be held responsible. That, you know, it's wrong, and that she let her child. So there's that kind of. So there should be a number of actions that are you know kind of on the rule. But one of the things I think to look at, there's been a lot I've read about the whole notion of activity itself, right? We have a history of zoos. Zoos originally were kind of animals, and so it's got an ugly history. It's got a colonial history, and it's got this kind of history of man subduing nature. But of course, now with respect to animal cognition and animal behavior, keeping animals in captivity, just keeping animals in these out of the wild, has, you know, detrimental effects on animals psychologically, physiologically, literally. So an important issue jump right here is that we have animals in captivity, zoos, and especially an animal like, of course, this is a kind of royal, regal, you know, gorilla pictures.
Yeah, see, so a handsome silverback
gorilla, and of course, there's the issues of genetic similarity, Homo sapiens, so, you know, grade 8, there's a lot built into this. You know, the kind of gorilla, he's been in race activity, he's not a gorilla. He's sort of like a symbol or a kind of embarrassed people to see as these animals, the representatives of animals in the wild rather than the actual animals themselves in the wild. And you know, this kind of there's a lot of problems to show that wild animal in captivity suffer here psychological, theological stress, and so it's not this. That zoo presents society, the wild animal activity and
clearly
experience. What are you thinking about on those terms?
First, I just want listeners know and tuned into non-radio on KZFR.1 FM Chico and worldwide at KZFR.org, and talking about Harambe. So I think the issue of animal captivity, you have, especially with larger animals, like gorillas, like giraffes, like elephants especially, or in the aquatic area, you have the orcas, whales, and dolphins. Other animals traditionally have pretty big ranges. Gorillas may not have wide ranges. They have habits that they do every day. For instance, gorillas make a bed, a nest, so it's very important to them to make a sleeping nest. and so they do not get this intivity. They do not get express their full social needs. But in groups, I don't think any would keep a gorilla in solitary confinement, although they keep kids in solid confinement, so totally resistant to that. So I think just seeing a picture of what the animals, and for what it is, right? I mean, they use themselves as arcs, conservation devices, mechanisms, as research mechanisms on these very species, but it's not cheap. Think how it is to a hotel room compared to staying at home. It's that kind of different cost between maintaining a wide natural space, conserving natural space, and hiring people to, as it is to maintain then a zoo. So, I don't know. I think in the long run, it's just money well spent going to the animals. I'm going to recount Anikla's presented in a book, Animal Mass, by Laurel Lane. She's a couple of years put together a book about how animals go crazy, basically. She recited a story that she heard from a zookeeper who retired because of the treatment of gorillas in particular. There was a lone gorilla named Tom who was mandated to move from one another under what's called a species, it's a species protection that's designed to observe genetic diversity, the entire population of all gorillas captivity, and these designed endangered species. These manage genetic density better than they manage actual captives for these. Anyway, Tom had moved from one zoo to another. The zoo too, not along with his soulmates, basically. He lost weight and was not doing well. He was because his other gorillas was transferred to another zoo and did not very well there. The zookeeper, that's when he met Tom. And eventually, after he was back into shape, he was sent away again. And a few months later, when that zookeeper visited his new zoo, Tom saw her and crying through the fence and started to cry and following along the fence, just be will and bereft. So that was like for her. That when she did to the zoo industry. So the animals
highly sophisticated, cognitively sophisticated, behaviorally sophisticated, socially
sophisticated. I think it's an important point to dial it back. Yeah, it's not just an issue of who's to blame. Is it the mom to blame? Is it the blame? Is the gorilla to blame? But the gorilla in captivity at all.
I think this is a big systemic issue that our culture, us as a society, even news. However, let me say that. So a new advocate, for example, may say something like this. Look, the Cincinnati Zoo and others, you are conservation, right? So you have the gorilla's habit is based on understanding. And so this provides kind of funding these habitats. So it's kind of an indirect way. We take a representative basket like Bombi and people come to make the and we fund the habitat. So there's an argument. So what you say to that of zoo at it?
Say Harambe to be as a ancient fundraising device to keep other animals free. Also, hard look money and see what percentage is being the zoo, how much money is going to be paid to directors, and it does go towards conservation. And if that rage is towards conservation in the wild, then we all need to take a hard how tribute to zoos.
Yeah, that's.
Would you have any other approach to it?
No. She brought up. I mean, look, a couple things. One is the very notion of having a non-human animal like Harambe, a silverback, in a zoo. During this, and, you know, we always talk about, I always have to bring in my moral aspects of this. This assumption of the notion of kind of what they in their personhood. And so we have this notion that human beings, sapiens, are person, and we are in value. As if you think about that, in a way, they're not being taken as property, right? So-called animal property. This is, this is once again a larger. It's a problem. It's more systemic, more systemic problem that we take a majestic, wonderful, you know, like Harambe, and we mistreat him, and then we literally have to hold the power of death with a rifle shot. I think that's part of it. Notion of rights, the care we say, does Harambe hunt or is Harambe merely a property, a piece of property owned by the city? I mean, that's another aspect of this that I think be back and look at a little bit.
You know, I'm going to comment on that idea of person, and just that in our language, choose to refer to non-human animals as it. You might be reading when I'm reading the open news because I'm mentally conveying references it and that to he and who. And Karen Bond, who Graham will write a service, she mentioned that the times when they've covered the story, they were to Harambe, quote, a gorilla was manhandling a small boy who had fallen, end quote. The New York Times said it's interesting that there's a direct cost to call an animal, it, he or she, unless its sex has been mentioned or it has been personalized with a name. Here we have name and a sex. She wrote to the Times and said, hey, look, you're violating your own dialogue. And they changed the online version to reflect the change. So the sentence came, a gorilla who was handling a small boy who had fallen, which was like, so change is coming in all these small areas.
Right. Yes.
So I just, and that, like, and isn't how we choose what to and who. I think that we can show in our own language how we address nine animals. This is an aspect of it's on your plate by using your language and calling out others. And they refer to cat or gorilla as it.
Well, she speaks of what's on your plate. I'm quitting this up because I know we want to miss this one and cover something else. I would be remiss that as tragic and terrible as death of and the, you know, the pouring of the outrage and the sympathy and server that in that alone, just in the United States, when we talk about cows, pigs, and chickens, now I believe it's about what 15 billion total, just those animals, or in the agriculture. And so weird kind of a moral faceness, a kind of confusion that we have. So. You know, I can just imagine the image I have one going from media sitting there eating their bacon sandwich and writing about how outraged they are that gorilla was shot. And I think there's some kind of moral hypocrisy, moral concern of it, our attitudes toward non human animals.
I can give up, right? That typical kind of response.
Yeah. Up bacon. This letter of outrage that she's thinking of a gorilla.
Yeah. So, you know, if animal advocates credit that they bring this hypocrisy. They brought up when Cecil the lion shot over the poor lion, but bring me Mike, you know, and the cognitive differences between a lion and a gorilla and a cow and or pig or a cat are that big when looking. But the point is to start looking for those analogies.
Well, gee, I wish we could carry on this conversation, but it looks headed to the show. But even though I'm an artist, I find out some account. Tell me when I'm there. And
Yeah. This Saturday, I'm going to be going, and I hope some ECHO folks will be going. There's going to be a potluck on Saturday, 5 to 6 p.m. The Visa Fluffling, their first potluck, which is for that little town. For more information on the location, check out the Facebook groups of Fluff. On Saturday, a car locally will be hosting a free screening, Finding Nemo, as part of its outdoor movie series in the park, Bidwell Park. The movie starts at approximately minutes after set on the big screen in Wheeled at Bidwell Park. My favorite movie ever is from Finding Nemo, and that is when sharks says fish are friends, not food. Yeah.
I like my shark. No, I am going to go to the ocean next week. I see a shark. I think he might be my friend. I swim the other way. I don't know. I'm crazy.
And then last calendar item is Saturday on Sunday, June 5th. The event will be seeing Unity, which is like its predecessor, an in-depth look at what it means to be human and non-human in Lazy World. Unity will show up for humanity's hopeful transformation from living, killing into loving. This is a one-time screening on Saturday, June 5th at 7. This movie is directed and produced by Sean Munson, who also did Earthlings, which is one of the first movies that was out there. So that's it for the calendar. If you have calendars, go to me an email, information to nonhumanradio@email.com. And thanks. I hope to see you at that. Like, if you have a free Saturday, it'd be a great thing to do. Okay, well, I think we're about at the end of our time. I hope you're enjoying all the treats, every single one those has to offer.
Now I'll be coming to report on my your restaurant review, and I'll be 15th fat or two. You know, that's what.
Okay, you'll have to work. I have one business bit of to take care of, and that animal rights the week. Just from Mark. Mark is a former professor of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Colorado Boulder. Is a fellow of Animal Behavior Society. He knows stuff. He had an article, quote, "Hope Harambe did not vain." And that this moment we turn into a movement that ends with the plight of captive animals. And I urge on radio listeners to skip their next to the zoo and go for a hike.
Way to go, Mark Duff. Well, Non-Human Radio is made through the contributions of KFR listening to you. Thanks, as always, your engineer, Fran.
Here I am, Ben.
Are you there?
Here.
Okay.
Okay, I think I've got him. Okay.
Was that Sue?
That was Sue in the back, yep.
Hey, Sue. Well, thank you for your help, and congratulations. I think Kenny has a congratulations come up.
This is a non-radio version of CFR 9.1 Chico. The views and opinions expressed on this broadcast are those and do reflect the opinions of CFR, its board staff, our music to fall, being vegan activists against. And if you're watching the show, you can put online.